Radio Prague News.
Leaders of the three ruling parties are holding talks on the future of the centre-right government. The Ministry of Labour wants to add an additional 140 million crowns to social services this year. And financier Petr Kellner is donating tens of millions to President Václav Klaus's emerging think tank. The leaders of the three ruling parties are meeting to decide on the future of the centre-right government. The parties first held a budgetary meeting and agreed on measures intended to keep the budget deficit below 3% GDP for 2013 and 2014, a fundamental condition for the senior coalition parties. The junior coalition Public Affairs Party, which ignited the current crisis with far-reaching demands, says they agreed on maintaining maternity subsidies, on which the party insisted. The Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs wants to add an additional 140 million crowns to social services this year. Speaking after a meeting with an association of healthcare providers, Labour Minister Jaromír Drábek said he believed he would find the money within the ministry and planned to discuss the matter with the Prime Minister and Finance Minister. The association, which cares for the handicapped, seniors and others in need, says that the current lack of financing means that a number of services will be cancelled. A demonstration planned for April 16th was cancelled as per the agreement. Financier Petr Kellner is making a major donation to President Václav Klaus's emerging think tank. In a rare interview for the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, the wealthiest Czech said he had decided to give the Václav Klaus Institute a one-time donation of several tens of millions of crowns for the long-term rental of a venue. Kellner said former presidents were symbols and as such should receive greater support, which private businessmen like himself could provide if the state would not. Václav Klaus has said the aim of the institute is to comment on politics inside and outside the Czech Republic through analyses, studies and statements. On a separate note, Mr. Kellner also told the paper that he believes corruption in the Czech Republic has gone over the edge and is now worse than in Russia. Industry Minister Martin Kuba says that the controversial anti-counterfeiting treaty, ACTA, should be reviewed by the Constitutional Court before being ratified. ACTA has stirred up a wave of international opposition in recent months and is currently being reviewed by the European Court of Justice. Mr. Kuba, who also met with the Czech Pirate Party on Tuesday, said that his ministry would insist on a review by the court to ensure that it is in harmony with existing legislation and does not impede personal freedoms, but added that the industry ministry had already done an analysis that showed that ACTA changed nothing in Czech legislation. Astronomers from the Kleť Observatory in South Bohemia have named an asteroid they discovered after one of Václav Havel's theatrical characters, Ferdinand Vaněk. The roughly 2-kilometer-long object was discovered in 2004 in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. The team originally wanted to name it after the former president. However, the International Astronomical Union does not allow bodies to be named after politicians until 100 years after their death. The popular character from Havel's play, The Audience, was therefore chosen. Ferdinand Vaněk also made a notable appearance in the 1980s when a birthday message was sneaked onto a page of the communist newspaper Rudé Právo, alongside a picture of dissident Václav Havel. Now turning briefly to the weather, the coming days should be overcast and rainy, with daytime temperatures between 15 and 18 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, negotiations over the future of the Czech government are underway. The Czech Republic has reached the semi-finals in this year's Davis Cup, and later on in the program, we take a trip to Kozel Chateau. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The The fate of the Czech government will be decided later on Tuesday as coalition leaders are meeting in an attempt to save the cabinet. The junior coalition Public Affairs Party rocked the boat once again last week when they threatened to pull out of the coalition. But before the week was over, the party seemed happy to accept an offer by the prime minister to settle their disputes at the negotiating table. The meeting of the Civic Democrats, top 09 and public affairs leaders is now in progress, and I'm joined in the studio by Jan Richter, who has been following developments closely. So first of all, Jan, what seems to be the cause of the current government crisis?
Well, Sarah, the formal pretext seems to be a recording of a former MP for the public affairs by the name of Kristina Kocsi, in which Ms. Kocsi said the other coalition parties were last year trying to buy some of the MPs to get rid of the party leadership and form a coalition of its own. So this is what prompted the public affairs leaders to threaten to quit the government if Prime Minister Nečas does not agree to their demands. You see, they came up with a series of demands and gave Prime Minister Petr Nečas until the end of the month to fulfill them. The central point seems to have been their insistence that the government must do something to raise its credibility, which really no one could take really seriously given the public affairs record in the government. And they later specified their request. They wanted to do something about the situation of the state-run forestry company, for example, or to improve the new system of distributing social welfare and a series of other more or less arbitrarily chosen steps, it seems. But as their coalition partners pointed out, it was sort of far-fetched to give the Prime Minister an ultimatum over all this. So it seems the real cause of the government's crisis had to do with the situation within the Public Affairs Party itself, probably also with the trial of their founder and de facto leader Vít Bárta, who is now being tried for corruption. So it does seem that public affairs leaders got somehow scared of their own courage eventually and gladly accepted an offer, which you mentioned, of Prime Minister Petr Nečas to settle their disputes today at a meeting. And that meeting will not only be about their demands, but also about the demands from the other coalition parties for the government to go on, because the other coalition parties did really put their foot down this time and said that public affairs must accept further budget cuts for the coalition to go on, which is something public affairs have been opposing.
So you already mentioned that officials from the three parties have been holding meetings all day. Have there been any hints regarding the outcome yet?
Well, public affairs officials seem to have conserved their rebellious mood ahead of the key meeting on Tuesday. For example, Deputy Party Chair and Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík said they were still ready to pull out of the government should their demands not be met. But for their part, the other coalition parties, the Civic Democrats and Top 09, also sounded very confident. For example, Finance Minister and one of the Top 09 leaders, Miroslav Kalousek, said he expected no opposition from their partners because they will either accept the deal, the cuts, or the country will head for early elections. But, you know, this is, of course, what the officials have been telling the media, so the reality might be a little bit different.
And now, if you were a betting man, Jan, would you put your money on the continuation of our current government then?
Sarah, I think I would, because the only other option, according to what everybody's been saying, is an early election, and this would not be good for any of the coalition party. Snap elections would almost certainly deliver a coup de grâce, as it were, to the public affairs, whose support among the voters is negligible right now. But in all likelihood, it will also send the Civic Democrat and Top 09 MPs in much fewer numbers into the opposition benches because the government's approval rating has plummeted. And in fact, most people now would prefer early elections, according to opinion polls. So the chances are, and quite good chances, I think, that the government leaders will reach some kind of agreement today, which will be in place until, of course, the next crisis.
That was Jan Richter of Radio Prague with his assessment of the current government crisis. Thanks for that, Jan. And now moving on to sports, the world number 7 in men's tennis, Tomáš Berdych, proved key in Davis Cup action at the weekend, helping the Czech Republic win 3 points against Serbia to put the Czechs through to the semi-finals. Although his final match against Janko Tipsarovic was a decidedly even affair, he held on and at the weekend didn't lose a single set. Jan Wellinger has more.
The Czech men's tennis team is through to its third semifinal in 4 years in the Davis Cup, largely thanks to the world's seventh best player, Tomáš Berdych. At the weekend, he proved crucial against the Serbs, who were without world number one Novak Djokovic. He's focusing instead on his career and the upcoming Summer Olympics. On day one, Berdych easily dispatched Viktor Troicki 6-2, 6-1, 6-2. And a day later in the doubles, he and longtime fellow player Radek Štěpánek proved too powerful against the less familiar partnership of Nenad Zimonjić and Ilya Bosiljac. The score in that match was 6-4, 6-2, 7-6, with the Serbs making a fight of it only in the final set. Afterwards, here is what Tomáš Berdych had to say.
They start quite well, but, you know, that's actually what we not expect, but you have to be careful with that, you know, because we won quite easy two sets, and then, you know, you expect that it's not going to go like that all the games. So, but, you know, then we made a really good game when we were 40 love down, and we made a break, which was very important, and then finally we was able to finish it in the tie break, because as Radek said, that he was feeling really tired, and after all those emotions and everything, you know, that was the best thing that what possibly we could do, you know, finish it in the third set.
Earlier, Štěpánek had lost against world number 8 Janko Tipsarevic, so with the score at 2-1 for the Czechs, it was up to Berdych to face the Serbian team's top player. Speaking of tiebreaks, in their rubber, each set went down the wire. In the first, Berdych sent a powerful ball cross-court for the winner. In the second, he went to the net for the point. Still, the third set tiebreak didn't look at all like it would go the Czech's way. He was losing 5-1 before storming back to win 9-7 after Tipsarevic sent the return into the net. So 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. It was a close match in which Berdych showed greater discipline and a touch more physical toughness and mental precision, while willing to take risks on key points. Tipsarevic, after all, had every chance to get back into the match, but watched them slip away as he failed to convert two set points.
Česko je v semifinále Davis Cupu a může za to především Tomáš Berdych. Protože poráží Janka Tipsareviče za 3¾ hours, 7-6, 7-6, a 7-6.
So a great moment there for Tomáš Berdych, and here's what he had to say.
It was really close, but I think it was probably some kind of more experience probably on my side, but definitely it was probably my mental side of the game as well, you know, because I was quite many times down and I was able to come back, turn it for my side, and then you know, he was up in actually all three sets, so yeah, probably that was the difference.
The win gave the Czech team the unassailable 3-1 lead they needed, and Lukáš Rosol added a fourth win for good measure when he beat Troicki 7-6, 7-5 later on Sunday. That match, of course, would not have changed the overall result. The Czechs, who had the strong home crowd behind them in the quarterfinal, will travel to South America for the next stage in September. They will face Argentina, a tough opponent, although the team suggested somewhat more favorable than Spain.
This report was brought to you by Jan Wellinger. Thanks for that, Jan. And now for today's spotlight, we have come to the countryside of West Bohemia to visit Kozel Chateau. Ian Willoughby takes you there.
Kozel was originally a hunting lodge. When it was built in the late 18th century, it bore the German name of Waldschloss or Jagdschloss, meaning forest or hunting chateau. Why is it now called Kozel, which is goat in Czech? Apparently the ancient Slavs used to sacrifice a goat on this site at the spring equinox. Their aim? To win the favor of their pagan gods, and hopefully a good harvest. But when the chateau acquired the name Kozel, nobody seems to know. What is known is that it was built between 1784 and 1789. Here's estate manager Karel Bobek.
Postavil ho Václav Habrdic pro stavebníka, kterým byl Jan Vojtěch Černín.
It was built by Václav Habrdic for Jan Vojtěch Černín, who was the supreme huntsman for the Czech kingdom. and was a member of Emperor Josef II's court. Černín was at the start of his career, and building a place like Kozel was the done thing for someone in his position.
Kozel was built in a relatively simple style, square in shape with three ground floor wings and one wing which also has a second story. It's charming and unusual, but rather unimposing, and many visitors tend to notice its outlying buildings before the chateau itself.
Pokud tu nikdy nebyli, tak směřují k těm ostatním budovám, o kterých byla řeč.
People who haven't been here before tend to head straight for the outlying buildings, not the chateau itself. The other buildings were designed by Ignác Jan Nepomuk Paliardi, a Prague architect of Italian origin. And they're much more impressive architecturally.
Kvadratura nevýrazná, taková šedá.
By the way, Ignác Paliardia also made his mark on Strahov Monastery in Prague, which was adapted after his design in 1793. And his buildings at Kozel may dominate the actual chateau proper, but visitors don't leave disappointed, says Mr. Bobek.
Myslím, že jsou naopak zase překvapeni, pakliže vstoupí dovnitř a uvidí.
I think once people go inside, they are pleasantly surprised by the variety of individual interiors, by the wall paintings and the furniture.
Prostřednictvím těch nástěnných maleb a toho mobiliáře.
But back to history for a moment. Following the death of Jan Wojtěch Černín, Kozel was inherited by another old Czech aristocratic family, the Valdsteins. One of the most interesting members of the family was Arnošt Valdštejn Wartenberg, who owned a nearby ironworks. In 1859, he set up the Valdštejn Engineering Works in the nearby town of Pilsen. A decade later, he was bought out by an enterprising employee by the name of Emil Škoda. That's right, Škoda as in today's Škoda cars and machinery. Emil Škoda built the plant up into the biggest engineering works in the Austria-Hungary of the time. His portrait is on display at Kozel. Getting back to the outlying buildings we heard about earlier, one of them has the amusing title, or at least amusing to me, of Lackey House. Karel Bobek points out that 200 years later, it still retains its original purpose, in a sense.
Zrovna v tomhle konkrétním případě to slouží tomu svému autentickému poslání, že tam opět.
And this building actually serves the same purpose today that it was originally built for. Employees live there once again. It was a simple building like the whole of Kozel. An important element in all the occupied rooms, the lackey house included, was the stoves, which were tiled and fired with wood from outside the rooms. But today the staff who live in the lackey house have electric heating.
While the lackey house, the main building, the chapel and the riding hall are visited by thousands every year, and the latter is where students of Pilsen's University of West Bohemia have their graduation ceremonies, the most popular attraction at Kozel is its gardens. Many people make the 15-kilometer drive from Pilsen to visit the gardens in spring, summer and autumn. They were designed by a man named František Xavier Franz, who gained his expertise at Schönbrunn in Vienna. He had 6,000 trees from around the world planted in the gardens, the borders of which blend in with the surrounding woods and fields. As I say, many locals take advantage of Kozel's charms. It also has many international visitors, though Karel Bobek has seen something of a change in their composition in his time as manager.
Předtím to byli zejména teda turisté, když jste se ptal na ty zahraniční.
In the past, most of our visitors came from the Eastern Bloc, mostly from the former East Germany, but also from Russia and Hungary. After the political changes, we had a big fall off in numbers, before a boom in the mid-90s. We had visitors from Western Germany, mostly en route to Prague or South Bohemia. Nowadays, we get Russians coming here again, but mostly on day trips from the spa towns of Karlovy Vary or Mariánské Lázně.
Pro ně teda poznávací zájezdy nebo výlety jednodenní krátky.
This edition of Spotlight was first broadcast in November 2004. Thanks, Ian Willoughby, for that. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program with AVC, our Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to a special edition of Radio Prague's Czech teaching program, today dedicated to Easter themes. Easter,
Velikonoce,
is the most important Christian holiday, celebrated also by all those who are happy that winter is over and spring has come once again. The word
Velikonoce
is derived from the expression
Velká noc,
meaning a great night. It comes from Greek and originally stood for the great day on which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. First, we'll take a look at what some of the Easter days are called. On Maundy Thursday,
Zelený čtvrtek,
which is a commemoration of the Last Supper, bells become silent and are set to fly off to Rome. Good Friday,
Velký pátek,
or Big Friday in Czech, is the day that Jesus died on the cross. For Christians, it is a day of fasting and contemplation. Easter Saturday,
Bílá sobota,
when church bells chime once again, is a day of preparations for Easter Sunday,
Neděle velikonoční,
which is a time of rejoicing over the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter Monday,
Pondělí velikonoční,
is a day when various popular customs coming from pre-Christian times are practiced across Europe. Although customs vary in different regions of the Czech Republic, the main Easter Monday tradition is the so-called whipping. Boys call on the girls in the neighborhood and whip them with plaited willow switches. The whip and the custom is called
pomláska.
The painful procedure is supposed to guarantee good health and beauty to women in the coming year. And according to tradition, girls pay for the service with painted eggs.
Kraslice.
Of course, eggs are the main symbol of Easter, and plenty are eaten during the holiday, both real and made of chocolate. The traditional Easter meal is lamb,
jehněčí,
sometimes with stuffing made from young nettles,
kopřivová nádivka,
and with those mouth-watering expressions we end today's Czech language special. But please join us next time if you can. Until then,
naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC was wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today there. And you please tell us if you have any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. You can either email us to english@radio.cz or find us on Facebook and leave us a wall post under Radio Prague where we have our Facebook profile. Or if you prefer writing good old-fashioned letters, then the postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. As always, everything you've heard on the show today and in the past can be found at our website radio.cz. Here you can discover our huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. And you can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.